Just a brief sponsor's announcement before we get into the sermon. This is Pledge Sunday, where we collect the offerings for the pledge for next year. There's a basin that's up on the altar. After the Nicene Creed, we'll invite you to come forward to put your pledge card there. Just to let you know, I've received a number in the mail and they are already there. So if you're one of the nosy Nancys that are around, the nosy persons that are around, if someone is still seated, it doesn't mean they haven't made a pledge. So knock it off. Okay. So that just, because I know some of you are kind of, oh, when's it going to happen? Well, that's when it's going to happen. So you can sit back, relax, and enjoy the sermon. And if you forgot your card, our trusty ushers have plenty. All right. Good morning. The Bible readings today are all about signs. They're all about signs. I always look at my pop guy over there. Who? Signs everywhere, signs.
Five-man electric band.
If you remember the five-man electric band, it was in the 70s. It was a great song in the 70s. Or if you're more of a comic person, the blue-collar comedy group, This Is Your Sign? Well, we have plenty of signs in this morning's reading, old, new, and Jesus. They point to a destination, don't they? They point to something. If I go out front and I see a sign that says, Clovis this-a-way, am I in Clovis? No. It says Clovis is that way. It's not the thing, it's something that points to the thing or reminds us of the thing. It's the same with signs from God. Christian stores are full of books claiming to identify the end times based on signs of the Bible. Jesus said, however, that even he doesn't know the day or the hour for his return. Only the Father knows, and he's not telling. So just in case you're expecting me up here today to explain the prophetic signs given in this morning's readings and the approximate date of Christ's return, your guess is as good as mine. But whenever that return will be, if we cling to our hope in Jesus and recognize those signs are here to reinforce our hope, then none of the signs will shake us. People often talk about the sign of our times. So this morning I'm going to go over some signs of the times, but probably not the ones you're thinking about. Signs of despair, signs of warning, signs in the road, signs of judgment and of hope, and finally the sign of the cross. Despair. Now you might think I'm talking about my blue jeans. I'm wearing despair of blue jeans. No, despair means hopelessness. To have no hope, to give up all hope or expectation. Recently, I'm driving down the road, and I see displayed full force this concept. The bumper sticker said, believe in yourself, that's all there is, ... atheism. I thought, to believe that there is nothing else in this material world but me, no God, no us, nothing beyond this life, is true despair. True despair. And if we're in a series of, if all we are is just a series of cosmic accidents, or maybe comic accidents as well, that then we'll cease to exist, creation with no creator, then we have no purpose in our lives, none whatsoever, and are absolutely meaningless. In the early 14th century, Dante wrote about in the afterlife in the Divine Comedy, and part of it that he called Inferno, he describes the inscription over the entrance to hell. And it reads, abandon all hope, ye who enter here. Abandon all hope, ye who enter here. That sign also describes the hopelessness, I think, of atheism. The advertising of despair, the blatant shout to the world of believers that says, I have no hope, and so how dare you have any? I know that may seem harsh to some, but after all, we're used to atheists just having a live and let live attitude. But not anymore. That's changed recently. People of faith, especially Christians, are considered dangerous or even an enemy to society because we hold on to faith and belief in Christ. Instead of becoming despondent over these signs of despair, we should realize that they lead us toward the sign that Jesus tells us of warning. In our Old Testament reading today, we heard about the upcoming time of great anguish and that the faithful will be rescued. Daniel, like most of us, want to know when these things are going to happen. We all want to know. But the warning is enough, and it will happen in its own time. And Daniel is told to seal it up in the book and go, that it'll make sense to the people during the time that's described, the end time. Jesus also provides a warning sign in Mark, saying to watch out for false prophets who will try and fool even the faithful. So we're keeping a sharp eye out for guys dressed like Jesus telling us when the world would end. You know, the ones with the placards and walking up and down the street corner. You can recognize them. In fact, most of them don't do that. Most of them don't even mention God, at least not God specifically. They just offer to show us that the stuff that God doesn't really want to tell us, that they have the inside track. Astrology is one of those. It's pretty common. Fortune cookies are another. I particularly like fortune cookies. They make me laugh. Here in Fresno, we have palm readers and tarot card houses, and all of it amounts to a false prophet, false messiahs, false messages, false information. Y'all remember Harold Camping? September 1992, October 1994, May, and then September in 2011. All the dates of the rapture, as predicted by poor Harold. And well, nada. God has made it clear. We're warned by Jesus that false Christs, false prophets, false teachers will arise to show signs and wonders for a particular purpose. And we hear it from Jesus. He says, to lead astray the elect. You are the elect. Their purpose is to lead you astray. We've been warned. There's signs on the road, aren't there? On any journey, there are signs to look for along the road. One of the road signs that we're all familiar with is that octagonal red sign with STOP on it. And in California, I guess it means kind of slow down and look out a little bit and keep going. But no, it actually means stop. Most of the world remembers it means stop. It means to completely cease movement in that direction. It doesn't mean to slow down. On our journey as Christians, the stop sign applies to us and to our sins. We're supposed to stop doing whatever it is the Holy Spirit convicts us of that we're doing. It's not just to do less or only do it when no one's looking, but to stop it. Another sign on the road is dead end. And this means that where we're going doesn't really lead anywhere. Our sinful path leads only to death and nowhere else. It is a dead end. That's why I'm thankful for another sign that God gives us on our Christian journey, and it's called U-turns allowed. Because right now, no matter how far down a sinful path you or I've been walking, we can turn around and turn away from that and head back towards God without any penalty. He accepts us as if we had never gone off the course, but to do this, we have to pay attention to the fourth sign, yield. We need to stop following our own will, our own way, our own ego, and yield to the will of God, who loves us and wants us to be with him forever. Eventually, though, if we continue to disregard the signs on the road, we face a sign of judgment. The beginning of today's gospel told of God's judgment against the Israelites a full 40 years before the second destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD. That was a pretty clear sign of God's displeasure with his people when Jeremiah prophesied the destruction of the first temple in Jerusalem by Babylon around 586 BC. That was also a sign of God's displeasure with his people. Do you see a pattern here? God's judgment tends to follow a prolonged amount of sinning. Jesus and Jeremiah told the people of Jerusalem to repent and turn to God, but if they don't, so Jerusalem and the temples were destroyed twice. Jesus has promised to return again in judgment. One day Jesus Christ will return and say to the rebellious sinners, "During that long period of grace that I gave you, I was the Savior and I would have forgiven you. But today I'm your judge." But it's not judgment day yet, and there are still signs of hope. Now, signs of hope are wonderful. The Bible is our most obvious sign of hope. It is God's word to us to support and guide us through whatever difficulties we might face. It tells us that he is always with us and will never forsake us. The psalm from this morning, did you hear it? We heard that God will not leave us among the dead, that he will give us eternal life and the joy of his eternal presence. In verse 9, it says, "My heart is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope." That's today. Likewise, our reading in Hebrews tells us that our faith assures our salvation. Our faith does. That in very little while, Christ will return and not delay. So our journey with the Lord is always full of hope. Any journey without the Lord is filled with peril. Today, through the sign of the cross, Jesus offers us salvation. His death on the cross for our sins bridges the gap that stands between us and the gift of eternal life with God. We can't span that great divide on our own. We don't have to if we accept the sign of the cross. Our final road sign doesn't have to be "Bridge Out." Our opening collect today asks for the Father to let us embrace and ever hold fast to the blessed hope of everlasting life given to us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Do you hear it? Blessed hope. You see, despite these signs of our times, the signs of despair and warning and judgment, we have sign of salvation right in front of us through the cross. And it renews our hope, that blessed hope of everlasting life. And through the cross, we can see a different sign from the one that Dante described over the gates of hell, don't we? The sign of the cross reads, "Receive all hope, ye who enter here." Receive all hope, ye who enter here. Jesus will return. We know that. And as we heard in the reading from Hebrews this morning, the righteous will live by faith. The righteous will live by faith. How's your faith? How is it? What does it say? And it's only something you can answer. It's only something you can know. And other than me, your pastor, it's nobody else's business. The reason it's my business is I got to answer for you, okay? Not to you, but for you. How's your faith? Is your faith reflected in your attitude? Is your faith reflected in how you live? Is your faith reflected in your pledge card? Is it reflected in your support for God's work in this church? Did you faithfully pray about it before you jotted down a number? In Ephesians 2, verse 8, it says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing, but the gift of God." Our support for his church is one of the signs of faith in Christ. Again, it's not a sign for your neighbor or for me or anyone else. It's a sign for you. Is it an accurate sign? Does it accurately reflect? Do you have faith? Faith in Christ, faith in his love, faith in his word, and faith in his offering of salvation. All of those are pretty good signs. Amen.